Willkommen bei Mit Milch und Zucker, wo wir mit Menschen Kaffee trinken, damit ihr sie kennenlernen könnt.
Willkommen zurück bei Mit Milch und Zucker. Neue Woche, neue Folge, sagt die Christiane an dieser Stelle immer. Diese Woche bin ich ohne der Christiane hier, weil wir haben wieder eine ganz besondere Folge, nämlich eine Takeover-Folge. Und nachdem die Folge in Englisch sein wird, wechsle ich jetzt auch auf Englisch, weil eine unserer Zuhörerinnen und Gästinnen nur Englisch spricht. Welcome to the podcast mit Milch und Zucker. This week we have a takeover episode and passing on the episode to Gerhard Lorca, member of the Austrian Parliament for NEOS since 2014 and spokesperson for health and social affairs. And he will explain what he will talk about, who our guest is, and it's a very special episode, so have fun with it. Go on, Gerald. Have fun.
Thank you, Brenda. Dear listeners of this podcast, today I may introduce to you Mrs. Catherine Chan. She's the chief of the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office in Austria. Translated into everyday language, we would call this office the Embassy of Taiwan. Mrs. Chan is a career diplomat. Before coming to Austria, she served in a couple of places, for example, in the Netherlands, St. Kitts and Nevis, but also the United States, the UK and Australia. Mrs. Chan, few Austrians have ever been to Taiwan. Which three things should an Austrian know about your home country?
I think that the first thing we are very proud of is the democracy in Taiwan. Taiwan, just like Austria, it's a full-fledged democracy. The president, the legislators all come from direct elections. And number two, the economy. It's a very vibrant economy. Like last year, Taiwan enjoyed 3.11% of a growth. And number three, Taiwan people are very friendly, very hospitable. And Taiwan has a lot of beautiful sceneries. As you can see, my background, that's the tallest mountain in Taiwan, Mount Jade. So I encourage and I welcome Austrians to visit Taiwan.
So hopefully many of us will have the chance to see your country. You yourself have now been to Austria for a couple of months, and I would like you to compare your home country to Austria.
I think the first thing is that we share the common value of freedom, democracy, respect of human rights, and also the rule-based order. And number two, I think we both are not very big countries. Taiwan, or official name, Republic of China. Taiwan has a population of 23 million, while Austria has 9 million people. However, Austria, you have the land area is much bigger than Taiwan. And Taiwan, the land size of Taiwan is around 36,000 square kilometers, which is similar to the size of the Netherlands. But I think that we all value our democracy, and we are also very proud that we are friendly people, and the people in Taiwan, we emphasize on the importance of a good education, our family values, and treating people nicely. And I think something similar is that I think before many may think Taiwan, they will still think of the Chiang Kai-shek years. However, Taiwan is no longer a authoritarian society. We are now a democracy. It's a young democracy, just like Austria is a very dynamic democracy.
A friend of mine, she is an expert in defense policies, Teresa Reiter. She allowed me to copy an idea of hers. And that's what I'd like to do now. If you compare Austria and Taiwan to animals, if these countries would be animals, which animals would they be?
Oh, I think Taiwan, we are the combination of the, because Taiwan people are very hardworking, very resilient, because we constantly face the pressure from China. And so that we have to be very strong to not just learn to survive, but also to thrive. So in the past, over 70 years, Taiwan did quite well. We do have a symbol that Taiwanese, we have, I think we are both a tough, but also we are also a friendly. And there's the bear, the Taiwan, our local animal, that's the bear, the black bear. When we have the Taipei, the Asian city games are held in Taiwan, we use the black bear as our symbol.
Very nice. Compared to the bear, which animal would Austria be in this comparison?
Austria, I like Austria so much. I think you enjoy, you are very gifted. You have such a beautiful sceneries and people are so talented. We know that all the classic music like Mozart, like Beethoven, when we talk about the world classic music, and then we think of Austria, it's a music loving country and you have very high standard in the cultural area. And I think that's the people's impression about Austria. Also, there are lots of things that are from Austria to Taiwan. For example, we have a cable car in the tea growing region in the suburban Taipei area. And that was done by Austrian engineers. And we also have a reservoir, which the Taipei people, our daily drinking water came from that reservoir. And that dam was built by Austrian engineers there. And also you are very strong in the water, how to say that, you are very good in building the dams, the cable cars, and also we have a tunnel in that connect Yilan and Taipei, and that one was also done. We have to use the big jump to go through the mountain. That project was done by the Austrian engineers. So I think it's wonderful that Austria and Taiwan have so many cooperations. And of course, your Vienna Philharmonic, they visit Taiwan almost every year, except the last year because of the pandemic. And Taiwanese enjoy the Vienna Philharmonic so much.
Thank you very much. From the construction works, I'd say Austria is like the beaver in the animal picture.
The beaver.
Well, officially, you are not called an ambassador, but the head of the Economic and Cultural Office. This is due to diplomatic reasons, which our listeners might be interested in. The last foreign minister of Taiwan to visit an Austrian foreign minister was Mr. Lien Chang, who met Alois Mock in 1989, so quite a long time ago. How comes there has been such a long pause in official contacts?
Yes, I think it's really a big concern for Taiwan, because all the reason is from China, because China considers Taiwan a local province and they claim that they carry out diplomatic functions for Taiwan, and which is totally ungrounded, untrue. The reality, the simple reality is that the Republic of China and Taiwan, and we are commonly known as Taiwan, it is an independent sovereign state. However, because of the suppression from China, we were somewhat isolated in the international community. We were not allowed to join many of the international organizations. And between Austria and Taiwan, there are no formal diplomatic ties. So I was not called ambassador, but I'm the de facto ambassador. That's all the problem come from because of the suppression, the isolation from China toward Taiwan.
Still, Taiwan is a very active member of the international community. And so Taiwan was the first country to report mysterious cases of pneumonic sickness in the area of Wuhan to the WHO on the 31st of December 2019. And this pneumonic disease turned out to be what's later called COVID-19. Moreover, in the following months, Taiwan proved to fight the COVID pandemic successfully. Still, the WHO did not allow a participation of Taiwan in this year's conference on fighting the pandemic. Which measures made Taiwan so successful in the fight against COVID-19?
I think we are start quite early because we learned a good lesson in 2003. Taiwan suffered from the attack of the SARS, S-A-R-S, so that we established a very good SOP. Indeed, Taiwan was the first country we sensed the danger, the threat of the COVID-19. That's why we inform the WHO. However, this precious information, the WHO did not take that quite seriously, and because Taiwan start early and we and the people are quite disciplined, and we also because we sense the potential threat. So I think the early action is important. And number two, the people, we comply with the government requirement because there's very good trust established between the government and the people, so that all the people put on the facial mask and we keep a very safe social distance. And we also have the, for those suspicious cases of the COVID-19, we use the modern technology to monitor, to trace their footprint, so that all their contacts could be traced and could be treated immediately. But of course, we also pay attention to the privacy of every individual. I think that's a success. And because of the success, we share our experience with other countries. We also donate facial masks to the countries and peoples in need, like we donate a facial mask to the city hospitals here in Vienna. We also donate to other hospitals in Slovenia, in Croatia. We also donate lots of the medical supplies, like the protection gloves, protection clothes, and gas, the oxygen machines, the medical equipment to those in need. So that, and as you mentioned that, so far Taiwan is still excluded from the WHO, the pandemic, the virus knows no borders. It requires global cooperation. It's important. I think it will be mutually beneficial that Taiwan to be included in the World Health Organization. And thank you, Mr. Loaker, for your support that Taiwan should be included. Actually, this year, over 1,000 lawmakers from European countries, they wrote a letter to the World Health Organization expressing concern that Taiwan is not included in the World Health Organization. I appreciate very much of your support.
I am sure these lawmakers will keep on working for the participation of Taiwan in the WHO fight against COVID, so maybe we will be more successful next year. Well, thank you also very much for the donations of face masks to Austrian hospitals. If we compare that to maybe the more intensive activities of mainland China that runs an international campaign for its political system as an alternative to liberal democracy and market economy, how successful will this campaign of mainland China be in the long run?
I think that the China issue, it is a concern, and we have to be very clear-headed about the implication of the China rise. Economically, it is now the second largest global economy, and militarily, they're trying to increase their military expenditure. In the past 10 years, their military expenses are already grow by three times. However, at the same time, China does not share our values. They do not believe in democracy, and they do not share our values, so which is really a concern, not just to Taiwan. I think the global community should be aware of the implications it poses to the world. For example, China, they persecute the ethnic minority, the Uyghur people in Xinjiang, and they suppress the Hong Kong people's freedom. Like today, the pro-democracy newspaper, the Apple Daily, was forced to close down. And they even used the modern technology to monitor and to control its own people. And also toward Taiwan, they constantly threat Taiwan. Very often, they have the war plans and the submarines they're very close to Taiwan, trying to force Taiwan to accept that Taiwan is part of them, which is totally not the reality. And they also coerce its neighbors. They have a huge military buildup in the South China Sea. So that's why I think in recent years, the global community, there's a growing concern of the global community of the implication of the rise of China. And very recently, the G7 leaders, the president and the prime ministers from the world's most advanced most industrialized countries, they expressed a concern of the rise of China, and they also urged China to express concern about the human rights violation and the growing military expenditure, and also they emphasized the importance of the peace and stability of the Taiwan Strait, peace and stability of the Asian Pacific region. And so I think that it's important that all democracies, the friends, partners, the like-minded countries, that we should work together to safeguard a democracy, to safeguard our values. When we work together, we'll be able to uphold the values we cherish so much.
Which demands a lot of courageous activity from the friends of freedom and liberal democracy. If you stand against an economically and militarily strong country like China. Well, your country has one more thing to offer, a special Skira Kavalan that was recently presented to the French Austria. But still, I heard that the Taiwanese people now support Australian wine. How comes that Australian wine is now a political statement?
Because China is threatening Australia, and they impose sanctions on Australia wine. I think that Taiwan and Australia, I used to be posted in Australia, to show solidarity that we stand by the side of democracy like Australia. So when China banned the import of Australia wine, then in Taiwan, we have a Buy Australia movement, so that I also bought some Australian wine to share with my friends here in Austria.
So we do not encourage our Austrian listeners to reduce their Austrian wine consumption, but maybe you might consider to add one or more bottles of Australian wine to your wine cellar in order to support the case for freedom and liberal democracy.
Yes, yes. Austrian wines are very, very popular in Taiwan. The other day, I visited the winery of the Kloster Neuburg, that church. And they have a very good winery. We had a wine tasting there. And we do have importers that, they export the Austrian wine to Taiwan, which is also very, very popular. Before I came here, I was told that Austria is very famous for good wines, especially the white wine, and I enjoy very much.
I'm very glad and proud to hear that. Now, as we're coming closer to the end of this podcast, let us turn towards the future. If you think of the next generation of Taiwanese people, what will their lives be all about, and how will it be different from today?
The young Taiwanese, I think that currently, because of the competition, the threat we face from China, and the young generation, we hope that China could leave Taiwan alone. We like to be on our own. We like to be our own masters. We hope that China treat Taiwan on the equal basis. So based on equality, then the young people, we also like to have, we like to do trade, we like to have exchanges, we like to visit China, but that should be on equal footing, on equal basis. And Taiwanese people, they are very outgoing. They enjoy making friends worldwide. I believe they will enjoy, if they have chance, they love to visit Austria and establish a friendship with Austrians. Here, I also like to encourage, because we have a working holiday program, and I like to encourage more Austrians to go to Taiwan to broaden their horizon, broaden their views of Taiwan. And vice versa, we have Taiwanese young people, they come here by taking by using the working holiday program.
Is there anything else you would like to say to our Austrian listeners that I forgot to mention in this podcast?
I think that I'm very lucky that I have a chance to represent Taiwan here in Austria. And my job here is to promote economic, trade, cultural, scientific ties between Taiwan and Austria. I like to promote Taiwan and also to bring Taiwan and Austria closer to each other. So in the future, I welcome that both sides will have more economic trade and cultural ties. And Austrians, you are the most welcome to visit Taiwan. Taiwan has beautiful sceneries and the food. We have a big variety of choices. And you will enjoy Taiwan. It's a gem, a hidden gem in the Asian Pacific area. And also because of the semiconductor industry, the ICT industry is very, very, very strong. And I encourage Austrian business people to go to Taiwan to explore business opportunities. 14 flights a week. Both EVA Air and the China Airlines, which is based in Taiwan, nothing to do with China. They both have a direct flight between Vienna and Taipei. And today, I'm so pleased that your government just announced that you lift the restrictions for the non-necessary travel. So which means that Taiwan visitors will be able to travel to Austria. I believe I already received lots of phone calls asking what's the requirement to come to visit Vienna. So I'm expecting lots of tourists from Taiwan, they will visit Vienna and visit Austria.
So thank you very much, Mrs. Chang, for sharing your insights with us and for letting us learn a bit more about the Republic of China, which is better known under the name Taiwan. I wish you all the best for your special work in Austria. And I may say thank you to Brenda and Christiane for having us on their podcast. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Thank you, Mr. Loaka. Thank you, Brenda. And thank you, all listeners. Thank you.